From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, June 21st. I'm Abby Larico. Some of the 24 people injured during the Chiefs Super Bowl parade in February have had to resort to credit cards to stay afloat financially.
We've definitely been robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Taking a look at the high cost of surviving a mass shooting, coming up on The Gateway. Members of the Francis Howell School Board decided yesterday to introduce several controversial policy changes over the objections of some students and parents. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, the proposals include bans on gender identity discussions and any mention of crime in books.
Four of the school board's seven members voted to introduce the measures at Thursday's meeting. One member of the board's conservative majority said they want to remove politics that disparage conservative leaders and exalt liberal ones. Fran Froelich, a former Francis Howell parent, says she supports the board's efforts to protect innocent children. She says teachers aren't the right people to talk to students about gender.
Yes, I definitely think that there's an agenda in regards to activism for DEI and also for transgenderism. I don't think the teachers are qualified to be doing counseling children.
Another measure would require new books be approved by a 9-person review panel. Final votes could come in July. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Meantime, the St. Louis County Library is making it a little easier to access books on the go. The library launched its e-pop-up library this week. The new e-media service gives patrons access to thousands of digital and audiobooks with the scan of a QR code. E-pop-up library is available at Metrolink locations, St. Louis County government offices, Schnucks stores, and St. Louis-Lambert International Airport. The service is part of a $2 million gift from the Clark family to bring more educational programming. A library card is not required. Checked-out materials are available for 7 days. Prison activists say they want transparency from the Missouri Department of Corrections after a warden was replaced last week without explanation. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports on the response following the replacement of the Jefferson City Correctional Center's warden.
Doris Falkenrath was replaced just months after four Jefferson City corrections officers were fired following an investigation of the death of an inmate in December. ML Smith is the founder of the Missouri Justice Coalition. She thinks this case is part of a bigger problem in Missouri prisons. Smith says not only is the department not transparent in its staffing decisions, but it's also not forthcoming involving inmate deaths.
Even when the families are trying to learn what's going on, they can't get autopsy reports. They can't get the right stories. They're blocked from understanding. I mean, there are times where families aren't even told when their loved ones die inside.
The department said in a statement that details of unexpected deaths are often kept confidential to prevent interference in investigations. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
The head of the Illinois Republican Party is resigning from the role. His announcement comes just a few weeks before the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Capital News Illinois reports Don Tracy has served as chair of the state GOP for 3.5 years. In a 2-page letter explaining his resignation, Tracy says he spent too much time dealing with party infighting instead of doing the work he was elected to do. Illinois voters will not be asked this November whether abortion access should be enshrined in the state constitution. That's despite efforts from pro-abortion rights groups. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Protecting abortion in the Illinois Constitution was a campaign promise from Governor J.B. Pritzker 2 years ago. But here's what he said last month.
I think it's less important here than it is in other states that we pass a constitutional amendment.
Planned Parenthood CEO Jennifer Welch, however, says codifying abortion is a great idea.
It's the full range of sexual orientation, sexual and reproductive health care, all of the rights that are being called into question by this current ultra-conservative Supreme Court.
State lawmakers could take up the issue again this fall. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
It's officially summer now with another hot weekend ahead, and one population that's been loving the early heat waves, ticks. The Missouri Department of Conservation reports an increase in tick activity because of the high temperatures early in the season. The St. Louis County Departments of Public Health and Parks and Recreation are asking for the public's assistance monitoring the population in area parks. Tick collection sites are set up at Lone Elk, West Tyson, and Greensfelder parks. Anyone who finds a tick is asked to drop the tiny bloodsucker into one of these boxes. That will help authorities watch for vector-borne illnesses in local ticks. 4 months after the shooting at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade, the cost of surviving is hitting hard for the 24 people with bullet wounds. Expenses like medical bills, missed work, and many out-of-pocket costs are all coming due for the survivors and their families. They're waiting for a promised payout, but they're still racking up debt in the meantime. Bram Sable-Smith reports it can be expensive to survive a mass shooting.
Emily Tavis and Jacob Gooch spread a stack of medical bills out on the coffee table in their home in Leavenworth, Kansas.
Here we go. These are bills.
These are just some of the bills that came when the couple were both shot at the Chiefs parade in February.
I mean, I don't know what any of these are really, but there's, I'll just go quick, $1,928. $150, $22.
Tavis started thinking about costs almost immediately after a bullet ripped through her leg. At the time, she was 12 days away from starting a new job that would provide her with health insurance coverage. She thought about turning down the ambulance ride because she could still walk, but
there was no getting out of there outside of an ambulance. That was the only way out. The streets were shut down and he couldn't walk.
Gooch was shot in the foot. They got in the ambulance with two of their kids. Tavis laughs now about her mindset at the time.
I'm not paying for this, you know? Like, I didn't ask for this life. Like, I'm not paying for this.
Soon, they realized Gooch's 14-year-old son had been shot in his foot, too. Now, Tavis keeps all their medical bills and other paperwork in separate stacks in the basement. They have color-coded binder clips, black for Gooch, blue for his son, pink for herself. The stacks include their applications for help from the United Way of Greater Kansas City, which raised nearly $2 million in the aftermath. Tavis and Gooch filled out the applications for each of them and now are waiting and making do.
We've definitely been robbing Peter to pay Paul.
A shooting victim racks up an average of about $30,000 in medical spending in the year after the injury. And life's ordinary bills don't stop either. Childcare, utilities, car repairs. Answers Aswad Thomas of the Alliance for Safety and Justice.
There are also the expenses related to housing that so many survivors face in crisis because they're not able to work.
Thomas says these financial burdens are so common, they have a name, victimization debt. Often after mass shootings, a mosaic of financial resources emerge to help. But Thomas says there are limits. For instance, state victims compensation programs.
Unfortunately, 96% of crime victims do not access their state's victim compensation program because of the policies that presents a lot of barriers from people accessing that program.
There are caps to how much you can get. You often have to cooperate with police. And the biggest challenge, you have to know it exists and then apply. And even for those who do, the program only covers certain expenses. Tavis and Gooch can send in their medical bills, but they're on their own to cover their rent, utilities, and food, even as Gooch is unable to work.
We're really broke right now.
Right now, yeah.
We're like exhausting our third credit card.
Yeah.
As we speak.
One of those is new. They opened it when Gooch's short-term disability payments abruptly stopped in May due to a paperwork snafu that took weeks to resolve. A lifeline is coming soon. The United Way will finalize its plan to spend the nearly $2 million later this month. People will receive payments as soon as June 27th. Tavis and Gooch still don't know how much they will get. Tavis hopes it will be enough to at least pay off their debt.
But, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. We're not gonna go without lights.
I'm Bram Sable-Smith.
Bram is with our partner, KFF Health News. He's following the survivors of the parade shooting. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a safe and happy weekend.